You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello everyone, this is Alex Mearns from The Football Hour. I'm joined with Dom Betts. Thank you for downloading and listening the Manager Watch series Best Bits. It's been an unbelievable couple of weeks, hasn't it, Dom?
Amazing.
It's been amazing. You've all been listening to so many podcasts. We've had so many listens. And we're reaching the point as a podcast where we're releasing best bits, mate. What's happened?
What is going on? But I mean, you know, we've had like several thousand listens and we put all the Manager Watches together. It's been amazing. We've actually talked some sense, mostly rubbish, but there's been some sense
there's
been spoken.
There's been some sense. There's been a few people on Twitter shouting at us because they don't agree. But that's just football, isn't it? Me and you have shouted a lot.
Yeah, sometimes at each other.
Well, that was what I was saying. That was what I was aiming at, like, we have argued quite a bit.
Yeah.
Are you all right with me? Are we like fine?
We're still friends.
Oh, thank you. Good. Don't be deleting me on Facebook or Facebooks. The Football Hour's been doing really well. So if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. You can also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes if you've enjoyed this series. So from me and Dom, big, big thank you to you all. And enjoy the Manager Watch, the best bits.
You're listening to The Football Hour.
And the problem Manchester United had was the legacy of Ferguson. It was slowly being diminished and it was slowly becoming, I don't want to say just another club like Chelsea and Man City, but it wasn't the colossus club as in Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Manchester United. Because despite my hatred for Manchester United being a Leeds United fan, they are the only club in Britain that compare to the Bayern Munichs, the Real Madrids and the Barcelona. And I think getting Jose Mourinho back, it's scary. I'm scared because the past few years I've been kind of laughing at Manchester United. The only reason Rashford's in the squad is because of injuries. The only reason Forza Mensa, the right back, or
Jesse Lingard's
playing is because of injuries.
Lingard is one of the most average midfielders I've seen.
These are average footballers. Manchester United, from Nicky Butt, David Beckham, Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes.
Class of 92, basically.
The class of 92. Name me 10 footballers until Jesse Lingard came in the squad that came through Manchester United Academy. There isn't any.
Because the class of 92
took up all the positions.
Yeah, basically took up all the positions.
I think Mourinho is brutal. He's brutal. He won't play any of these players if he doesn't think they're good enough. He doesn't care about Manchester United's bank balance. He will go out and sign whoever the hell he wants. He doesn't care if he signs a £50 million player and it somehow stops Jesse Lingard from progressing into the England team. Why should he care? He doesn't. And you know what? The Manchester United fans won't care. They won't care. They'll be back winning things, and that's why it's scary. I think it's interesting. He did a press conference, his first Manchester United press conference. And this summer, we've had, well, since Wayne Rooney came back from his injury, he played every single game for Manchester United in midfield. He played every single game for England in midfield. Jose Mourinho's first press conference, he definitively said, Wayne Rooney is not a number six. He's not a number eight. Wayne Rooney is a number nine. Maybe a number 10. Where is he fitting in Jose Mourinho's team? Is he taking Zlatan's place?
Because if you're going off what Jose Mourinho played at Chelsea,
it's one striker, isn't it?
Yeah,
every time.
It's one striker. As he said he's not going to play Wayne Rooney in the number 8 position. So unless he moves the more advanced playmaker in midfield further up, and that's Wayne Rooney's position?
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe Wayne Rooney's just going to have to move clubs altogether.
I think it's a real problem. You're not playing Rooney and Zlatan together. They're too slow. You've got two very slow centre-forwards.
Yeah, because if we're going off his style, at the moment on paper, it's going to be Zlatan in the middle, probably, and then Martial, and then maybe Mkhitaryan off him.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if he's planning on playing Mkhitaryan central or out wide, but let's say he's going to play out wide, because that's what he played for Dortmund last season, Royce, Mkhitaryan, or Aubameyang. So it'd be Martial on the left, Mkhitaryan on the right, and Ibra in the middle. Would you agree?
I'd definitely agree, mate.
Because when I saw them sign Ibrahimovic, I was like, well, we must be signing him as a starter because he's not going to go somewhere where he's second choice.
No, of course he's not, especially at his age.
Was he 36?
He's old.
Like 36, maybe, around that age? I mean, he's still got like 40 goals last season, so...
The thing is, me and Dom are saying this as if, why can you not play Martial, Wayne Rooney, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. You can, lads. Whoever's listening, you can. You get your Xbox controller, you turn on your Xbox, you put in FIFA 17, you can play Martial, Rooney, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. This is top level football where you don't carry passengers. You can't play two strikers that haven't got mobility. You can't play Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Wayne Rooney. Jose Mourinho knows this. He's one of the cleverest managers football's ever had. He will not set up a side where he thinks, oh, let's just play my best players. That's what some 14-year-old lad who lives nowhere near Manchester wants to play. Wayne Rooney and Zlatan together with Martial wide and Mkhitaryan on the right. It's not happening, is it?
No, because only one position in that entire team that, according to what Jose Mourinho said, Rooney fits in, and that is the striker. I mean, he could play him in midfield, but he said he's not a number 8.
He said he's not.
He says he's not number 6 or number 8, so that covers the whole of midfield.
Yeah.
Centrally. So Rooney has either got to be, is going to be second choice.
Dom, the Premier League table at the end of next season, where are Man United finishing?
Second.
I think Manchester United under Mourinho will finish third. So it's a much improvement under Van Gaal, but the money that they spent, surely they expect to win the league, don't they?
This is Dom Betts and Alex Mearns on the Football Hour.
We're going to be talking about Pep Guardiola, who's become the manager of Manchester City. Dom Betts, we've known the news for a while. Pep surely had time to think of what team he wants to play, what signings he wants to make. What sort of impact will Pep Guardiola bring to the English Premier League?
I know it's the most cliche thing to say, but he's going to bring the Pep Guardiola style of football. Because in his interview with Noel Gallagher on City's YouTube channel yesterday, he wasn't talking about winning the league or winning the Champions League in how many years or etc. He was talking about, I want us to play good football. Then if you play good football, that is going to win you the trophies, which I liked. It was talking about how he wants to play the game instead of, oh, I want to do this, which is very different to Jose Mourinho. He's all about winning the trophy no matter how bad or well you play. What I like is he makes players comfortable in more than one position. You try to think about what player at City is going to be the David Alaba, who can play centre back, right back, left back, holding midfield.
I've thought about this. I think next year he will turn Fernandinho into a centre back.
I've been thinking Fernandinho could be play as a Mascherano, could play as a Alaba, because everyone knows he's a centre,
especially at home.
Yeah, Fernandinho, because he's agile. But he's
quick,
but he's still solid defensively as well. Don't know where he's going to play Silva or De Bruyne, because they can both play centrally and they can both do a job out wide. I'd say De Bruyne can do a better job than Silva can from wide position. I've never really been a fan of Silva from wide position. He's not quick enough.
Sorry, do you think he'll dump David Silva?
I have a feeling he might. To be fair, he is getting on a bit, David Silva, but
you can't imagine Man City without David Silva.
David Silva is my favourite number 10 in the league.
Yeah, no, he's not mine, but I agree, he's good.
Like him and Ertzel for me are the two best. Just remove Payet from that situation altogether as a number 10. It's between David Silva and Ertzel, always has been. I've always been a Silva because I've always been more of a City fan than an Arsenal fan in general. But yeah, I have a feeling David Silva's either going to be a key player for Pep Guardiola, or he's not going to play him at all.
I know. I've got this feeling he's going to make an example of Raheem Sterling. I think you've seen with Raheem Sterling that he just doesn't seem that he's got sort of the mental attitude to cope with pressure. I'm thinking that chance in the second group game for England. Do you know, he just had side foot into the net because that brilliant break we had. Adam Lallana crossed the ball, I think. Just like Hleb at Barcelona, just like Götze at Bayern Munich, he made examples of them two players. Götze has not come on under Pep Guardiola like he has. He's not played hardly at all. I think Raheem Sterling could be gone in a year. City's exciting. Let's forget about the young players. People need to remember Pep Guardiola's a coach. He makes players better players, right? In England, we're so fixated about signings and stuff. City's squad, you don't need to sign anyone. All you need to do is make Mangala a better footballer. Pep Guardiola is the best coach in the world. Pep Guardiola will make Mangala a better player. I've had a dig at Raheem Sterling. If he sorts his head out, Pep Guardiola can make you a better footballer, Raheem Sterling. If you want to listen and become a better footballer, open your ears to Pep Guardiola. They've got Aguero as well.
The only position I can see him wanting to replace is Joe Hart.
Yeah, I could see it.
Rumours are rumours, but I've heard like Ter Stegen from Barcelona, the guy who came from Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Well, they're both blonde, so...
Yeah, because obviously Bravo is the main choice at Barcelona. Yeah.
You could stick a Hart shirt on Ter Stegen and you wouldn't even know there's a difference.
Until he could save a few shots instead of letting it roll in the back of the net. But so, to conclude on Manchester City, where do you think they're going to finish?
I think they'll win every single home game next year in the Premier League, which means I think they'll win the league. I know you're going to be like, well, they've got to win away games. They will win away games. I don't think anyone will get a point off City at home. And I think they'll win a lot of away games as well. I see City winning the league.
Same here. And that's always been City's problem. They've always been a really, really good team at the Etihad or the City Manchester Stadium, whatever you want to call it, Eastlands, whatever. But away from home, especially that season a few years ago when they were losing to teams like Villa, if they improve their away form, they'll be not unstoppable, but they...
But they can focus on other cups. That's what you're saying. They can focus on Champions Leagues. We're not saying City are going to have the league wrapped up, but if they're comfortable in the league, they can focus on other things, and that's what Pep Guardiola's there for.
Last point I make is... You know, everyone says in English you can only focus on one tournament.
Yeah.
Why can't you focus on the Champions League and the Premier League?
I know.
Barcelona can do it.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich can do it. I mean, no, they didn't reach the final under Pep, but at least semis. It's like, you can focus on both if you play well enough. Simple as.
It's weird. Other than Manchester United, who won it in 2008, the Champions League, is that correct?
Yes.
The other two English teams that have won the Champions League, Chelsea finished fifth. Liverpool finished fifth. I think the reason we're excited is because we just want to see a change in English football. Too many times it's more like a huff and a puff to try and beat an opposition team. Like, we'll outrun you. Why can't we outthink you? Why can't we outpass you? I hope Pep Guardiola can bring that to England. And maybe the Football Hour podcast might get a bit better.
It won't just be us ranting about how bad the English football is compared to the Liga and Bundesliga.
The Football Hour.
So Conte's coming to Chelsea after the season of absolute disaster last year, wasn't it, Dom? It was so un-Chelsea-like.
It was a disgrace, to be perfectly quite honest. I mean, I enjoyed watching it.
Yes.
But it was an absolute farce and a disgrace. And I think Conte is going to bring stability to Chelsea. They don't necessarily need to go all out this season, win the Premier League. They just need stability.
To get back into the Champions League.
Yeah, because stability is something that you do not associate with Chelsea Football Club.
No.
They're like manager in, manager out every year, 18 months or so. Whereas if Conte, what I think he's going to do, he's going to, I know it sounds a bit like Van Gaal, but he's going to bring his philosophy to the club, which hopefully isn't as focused on it as Van Gaal was. It's like, yeah, we need to play 3-5-2, which I know has worked for him wherever he's gone. Whether it's going to work in the Premier League, who knows?
It's a strange one with the 3-5-2. Because when you're playing that system, it's all about width, isn't it, from your fullbacks. Something that just went off in my head there. Stamford Bridge is a very tight pitch, isn't it?
It's a very, very narrow pitch, yeah. That's the thing. Will it work?
And all their play is coming inside with the likes of Willian coming in.
Hazard
coming in.
They haven't got a wide players that would suit here, so maybe he might go for another formation. Maybe he might go for a narrow diamond. I've even heard rumours of a 4-2-4.
Seriously? That's attacking, isn't it?
Yeah. It's basically a 4-4-2, just with very advanced wingers.
As like your Hazards and Willian.
Yeah.
I like Conte. What I've seen so far, I really like. I like his suits. I like his haircut. He's got a good tan. But other than that, his footballing, the way he sets out his football teams, look very good to me. But he has got a problem, because he has got a group of players that I don't believe are out of the slump which they slipped in under Jose Mourinho. I think those Chelsea players gave up on Chelsea's most successful manager and Chelsea's best manager of all time. They gave up on him and they wanted him to get the sack. Chelsea were awful. They were losing games at home to Bournemouth, I remember, and Southampton. And you're just thinking, this doesn't happen to Chelsea. In the last decade, this does not happen, right? So what happened is, the players got their wish, Jose Mourinho left, and then they started playing again, you know, knocking it about, having fun games, because really, they avoided relegation and their season was over. They were better than the teams from 15th to 8th, so they knew they could jump up higher up the table. So they brought in Gus Hiddink, arm round the shoulder manager for all these players, right? What is Conte? He's an aggressive manager like Jose Mourinho, who's not gonna let the Chelsea players get away with stuff that Hiddink would let. I think the players have got a problem because they either need to be kicked out of the club, which is it's so hard cutting five or six players because they're on such massive contracts. It's impossible to do.
So we've discussed the striking options and the midfielding options. If you go to more the defensive midfield and the defenders, like the only Conte holding midfielder that Chelsea have is John Obi Mikel.
What about Matic? Is he going? I've heard he's going, you know.
Yeah, because Matic, like, I haven't talked because he's sort of rumoured to be going or leaving, maybe United, I've heard. But, like, John Obi Mikel is, like, the only holding midfielder left. Because, obviously, Ramirez went to China. That's your holding midfield options. I mean, if Matic stays, then yes, you have Mikel and Matic holding midfield. Defender-wise, the only Conte-type defender there is Kurt Zouma.
Why? Why is John Terry not it?
John Terry's passed it for me. Cahill was not the greatest last season, so it made John Terry look alright, but yeah. I don't know why they gave him another contract.
Really?
Well, if you're going for a Premier League title, you should not be starting someone like John Terry. I know he's like the leader, the legend or captain of Chelsea, whatever the flag says, but you need to let go. That spine of Ashley Cole, John Terry, Frank Lampard and Drogba.
Peter Cech, it's gone, isn't it?
It's gone.
If we're going to do this, right?
Yeah.
I know we've not really thought about it in depth, but let's do, where will Chelsea finish next season?
Top four.
Give me a position.
Fourth.
Okay. I think seventh.
You think they're going to finish that low?
Yeah. The problem is, what I pointed out, the players are that arsed. I don't know, the players that are asked.
So unless he makes the right signings, they're going to finish seventh.
I don't know how many signings they can make. Because everyone's got money now. Everyone's got money. Chelsea ain't got Champions League. Why would you want to go play for Chelsea?
When you can go play for Leicester.
I think that's the concluding factor.
Why go play for Chelsea when you can go and play for Leicester City?
This is the Football Hour.
If you've been listening to this podcast a lot, we've done so much podcasts on Leicester City. It's because they just made us fall in love with football again. And I know Jamie Vardy's just signed a contract worth £100,000+ a week. But it's because he deserves it. And I don't think he was forcing Leicester into a corner going, Arsenal want to sign me, so give me a new deal. I hope that them group of players, you can see they have a bond. I hope they've all gone to each other. Lads, we are going to get loads and loads of transfer offers to go play for other clubs. Should we not just stay together? Keep this band of brothers together? I hope they've had that kind of chat. And they seem like the type of group of lads that would have that chat and go, could see Wes Morgan or Kasper Schmeichel getting the whole squad to go and going, this is too good to let go.
With Leicester, they need to sign players. They need to improve.
Yeah.
Chelsea made that mistake when they won the league.
Yeah, you're right.
Didn't sign anyone and thought, oh yeah, this team won the league last year, I think we can win the league again. No, you need to always be improving your side.
Where would you improve that side?
I'd get someone alongside Wes Morgan.
Really? What do you mean, Robert who? Come on.
I don't know, because it's really hard to say, because like, on paper, yeah, there's loads of defenders that would be better than Robert Huth, but you've got to improve them in some way, or you could get another winger to praise Albrighton and Dyer and Gray.
I think that's where I would strengthen Leicester. Fullback, maybe Danny Simpson, getting a top Champions League fullback, and another winger to replace Albrighton, who's not convincing me he's world class in the sense of the way Vardy clearly is world class or Mahrez is world class. You just feel that Mark Albrighton is someone that's gone, I'm having the season of my life here, I'm really enjoying it. I'm not sure he can keep that level or exceed the level which he's at. And that's what I'm saying, Mahrez, Kasper Schmeichel, Vardy, to me they're reaching a pinnacle, but I think they can push through that ceiling and go even better. When you watch Leicester and they had to bring on a sub or someone got suspended, I was so worried because these players coming in, they just wasn't on the level. That first 11, I can name you the whole thing, they knew their jobs, they knew exactly what they had to do. They knew where to pass the ball, they knew where to cross the ball. They knew where Jamie Vardy was going to be if they knocked it long. Someone like Damari Gray, or when Okazaki got injured Joa did so well, but I just didn't feel like he knew the system as well as Okazaki. Or when, what was the centre back? Wasilewski,
yeah.
When he came in for Morgan or Hoof, it just didn't feel the same. So you need to add to the bench. Here's the question I ask you. What happens if Leicester go into next season and with the momentum from last, win the first six games?
I mean, I personally can't see it.
But why not? Why can they not? Tell me why they can't. Because they're keeping all the best players. They were the best team last year. They never once looked like faltering. Why can they not do that?
I don't know if it's just going off previous history when it's happened. Like when a team, if we use Montpellier in the French League as an example, when they won the league, they've just dropped off.
Remember to visit our website, thefootballhour.com. for all our latest podcasts and articles.
We are going to be discussing Arsenal's upcoming Premier League season. Somehow, last year, they managed to finish above Spurs, even though Spurs had one of their seasons of their life and everyone thought Arsenal kind of bottled it. But they finished second. Don Betts, can they go one further and finish Premier League champions next year?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Simple
way.
Answer. Why do you believe that?
One, because they're Arsenal.
Okay.
Two, Wenger's still in charge, so right. Not winning the league. I want them to, actually, no, because Arsenal fans would actually be unbearable if they won the league.
That's true.
But, no, Arsenal, they're one of those annoying clubs to watch because you know they're good.
Yeah.
Alexis Sanchez, Mesut Ozil, Francis Coquelin, Koscielny, Petr Cech. That's a very good spine to a team. But
Aaron Ramsey.
But they have no bottle.
To me, the most important person at Arsenal Football Club next year is the head physio. If they can get the head physio playing like Lionel Messi at his job, Arsenal will win the Premier League. If Arsenal had a midfield, which they could pick from, and play in a 4-3-3, if the head physio can play like Messi at his job and get Jack Wilshere, Aaron Ramsey and the geezer who's playing for Switzerland, Xhaka, the new signing, in midfield, I think Arsenal can win the Premier League. Mesut Ozil on the right, Alexis Sanchez on the left, Giroud or other striker if they sign one up front. That is a title winning side.
Not with Mesut Ozil on the right wing.
Name me a better midfield. Mesut Ozil on the right wing. He plays there for Germany. Fine.
He has to play number 10 every day of the week. You hold him in. Hold him in field.
No, but I mean, against Man City away. Against Man City away, Mesut Ozil can't be playing number 10 because he's not tracking back enough. I know he can play where because he plays there for the world champions.
There's a difference between the world champions and Arsenal. No, for me, Mesut Ozil at Arsenal always has to play number 10.
I love Mesut Ozil. He can play number 10. He can play number 10 at home to Swansea, even though they did lose to Swansea at home last year. But do you not think that's vital for Arsenal to have a challenge keeping their best players fit?
Their best players were fit this year. They still bottled it.
No, they weren't.
Apart from Wilshere.
Yeah. Coquelin was out for ages, as you say, your star man.
You can't blame injuries on bottling it every single season.
But it affects when it comes to the crunch. It affects. Cazorla was out all year.
I just think Arsenal have no bottle. Injuries have played their part. Yes, they do. But it's the mentality of the club. And Ramsey, I just think he had one good season for Arsenal.
Oh, he's so much better than any other player in Arsenal's midfield. It's laughable.
You think he's better than Mesut Ozil?
He should be playing for Real Madrid.
He's just too inconsistent.
He's not.
Last season, what did he do?
He was injured a lot, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he had a decent run of games and he wasn't anything on what he was on the season before.
He's having the tournament of his life. He's taking Wales to the semi-final.
Him and Wilshere, maybe, but Ozil.
Sorry, I do like Arsenal. I like getting involved.
I hate Arsenal. I don't rate him that highly.
No, I think
Ozil and Sanchez are their two best players.
Right, okay.
Then Xhaka and Coquelin are the two holding midfielders.
All right.
That third attacking midfielder could be anyone.
So, excuse me, question. Is Jack Wilshere playing?
He's playing a James Milner role.
Is he?
What,
workman?
Yeah, just do a job out wide. Him, Ramsey, Cazorla. Cazorla plays more deep now, I know, but I mean, Pete Cazorla was obviously out there. But I mean, that third attacking position, even Alex Iwobi.
Yeah.
Go to someone like him, although I think he's going to get loaned out this season.
This is what I'm saying with Arsenal. We're listing off five. Do you think Wenger's got to go?
They want to win the league. This is his last season. He surely can't get another contract after this.
No, it's weird, isn't it?
Wenger's a great manager, but they're never going to win the league again under him.
Right.
I've said this maybe for the last five seasons. They need a mentality change at the club. Wenger's not brainwashed them, but made it seem like it's acceptable to finish fourth and win the FA Cup.
Yeah.
That's not acceptable for
a club. To be honest, they weren't even winning the FA Cup until a few years ago, were they?
Yeah, that's not acceptable for a club the size of Arsenal.
I thought at the end of last season, remember the Aston Villa, was it the Aston Villa game where they had the protests?
Oh yeah, the protests.
It just didn't last long enough. And now it's all kind of blown over and you've got that optimism again for the Arsenal season. Because you know what's sad? I'm going to ask you the question, where are Arsenal going to finish? And then I'm going to give my answer as well. I think Arsenal will finish second, right? And have a really good season. But they probably won't. They'll probably finish fifth. Because I'm blinded by this optimism that Arsenal always have at the start of the year. And then by the time bloody February comes round and it's a bit cold and wet and all the players are injured and they bottle it. The word bottler in the dictionary, if it is a word, they should have Arsenal's badge next to it. Where are Arsenal going to finish in this very exciting Premier League?
Arsenal are going to finish this season fifth.
Fifth.
But then I say this every single year, but there's no way they're making top four again and they somehow squirm it in. But I think this season, with all the new managers coming in, they're going to finish fifth.
We are now available on iTunes. Just search The Football Hour on the iTunes Store and subscribe to receive all our latest podcasts straight away.
And our eyes and ears turn to Tottenham Football Club, Dom. I say my ears because this summer, it's been awfully, awffully quiet over at White Hart Lane, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they've made two signings. I mean, there have been relatively major signings.
That's the thing, isn't it? They have been major signings.
They signed Victor Wanyama for about £15 million.
From Southampton.
And they signed Janssen, the top scorer in the Dutch league last season. I think he got 26, 30-odd goals.
Is it because these players aren't marquee in the sense of English fans don't really know who that guy is from the Dutch league?
Yeah.
And Wanyama, it's hard to get excited about a signing for a defensive midfield player unless you're N'Golo Kante.
It's also got to do with United signing like some Mkhitaryan,
yes,
Ibrahimovic, City have signed Ilkay Gundogan, Nolito, Chelsea have just signed Kante. They're not bad signings, I'm not saying that, but they're very underwhelming compared to the other teams. But it could be some shrewd business.
Do you think that's because Tottenham are the only team out of the top five, apart from Leicester, I'm talking major clubs, Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal, City, who don't need major, major work doing to their squad?
Yeah, they don't need anything major to do it. I'm glad they signed this Janssen guy, though, because Harry Kane was their only striker last season. If he got injured, they'd have to play Heung-Min Son, that striker, probably. Because, I mean, he did play there for Hamburg at one point and Bayern Leverkusen.
I will say this about Son. Never has a man been so excited when he scores a goal. The guy's face lights up. Just like the sun when he scores a goal. Sorry. I honestly didn't even mean that.
That is the second time you've used that pun on the football.
Let's move on.
Thinking about it, right? They play 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
They've got the most disgusting holding midfield partnership now in Eric Dyer and Victor Wanyama.
I know.
That is filthy.
That is filthy in the sense of there'll be plenty of yellow cards. I've got a real, real question to these Tottenham players. Especially these English Tottenham players. Are they going to come back from their England Euro exit completely bruised and battered from all the negativity that has been thrown at their faces for how poorly they did for England? Because I felt, apart from Eric Dyer, that the Tottenham players didn't perform to the level they did for Tottenham in the Premier League when they had an England shirt on. And this is my sort of worry for the development of the Tottenham squad, because what I'm saying is that Tottenham, on paper, I could write down their first 11 now. And I think that's a big positive. You're taking a team which did so well last year and you're not changing it. Hopefully, Pochettino, as a good coach, will improve that team and bring them forward. I just want to know now, with Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Kyle Walker, Danny Rose, whether they're going to turn into a Jack Wilshere or a Jordan Henderson, where they're in the England team, every single squad announcement, but they've not reached that next level. I'm talking world class. Dele Alli has got the ability to be world class, but is he happy being seen as just a good footballer, a good Premier League footballer? Is Harry Kane happy to be seen just as a good, when I say good, I'm talking Premier League winner Harry Kane? Can they go on and do that? That's what I'm asking of Tottenham next season. Do you believe they can?
Yeah, I do believe that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think they're going to win the league, because obviously SS City are going to win the league under Pep Guardiola. But if we think back to Euro 2008 when we didn't qualify, how many of his England players spurred on at the beginning of the next season? Steven Gerrard, Wayne Rooney. I know they were already world class at that point, yeah. But still, these things usually spur players on instead of keep them down. Because think about it, Spurs had a very poor end to last season as well, and a poor Euro. So they want to bounce back and just go all guns blazing and just try to do as well as they can this season.
You can listen to all our latest podcasts on our Audio Boom channel. audioboom.com/thefootballhour.
Seemingly at the start of every year, Liverpool kind of get forgotten about. Are they favourites for you in this title race at all?
For me, they're not even a contender in the title race. I mean, for them, for this season, their aim is obviously going to be top four because they've been out of it for a while, like, and they need to be there consistently, because even under Rafa Benitez and Gerard Houllier, they were around there consistently. Well, recently they haven't. Brendan Rodgers, he sort of fluctuated. He didn't really have that long there, to be fair. I mean, he came second, but then he got sacked last season. But one thing I'm going to say about Liverpool is I think finally their fans are realising that they're not this massive club anymore.
Really?
Well, they're not seeing themselves as like a Man City, a United, a Chelsea, who are going for the title every single season. Liverpool have gone for the title maybe twice in the last 15 years.
I understand where you're coming from. I understand where you're coming from. I want to list their front players to you. Sturridge, Mane, Coutinho, Lallana. Pretty attacking front. Why do you not believe that they can at least challenge for a top four place?
It's all got to do with their goalkeeper in defence for me, because Mignolet, you cannot win a league with Mignolet in goal. He's shown it time after time after time. He's not a good goalkeeper.
I know. Liverpool fans must be tearing their red hair out. He's not a first-choice goalkeeper. I don't even think the lad wants to be a first-choice goalkeeper. He doesn't seem to have that mentality. You know, that ruthlessness of a real, real top goalkeeper. You know, Pepe Reina, right? For all his faults, he had a lot of personality. That made him a better goalkeeper. Jamie Carragher liked playing in front of Pepe Reina. He would not like playing in front of Simon Mignolet. He would not. And the lad to Jamie Carragher's side, if he was still in the team, Alberto Moreno, why has he not been let go? He let them down in the Europa League final. He let them down because he cannot defend. And you're right. They need some serious, serious changes. I'm looking at Liverpool's transfer of Sadio Mane from Southampton Football Club, their seemingly academy, but they pay for their players. Well, they pay over the odds for their players. They've spent 34 million. I feel like Liverpool's got this summer transfer pot and they've gone to the shop and wasted it all on one item.
What annoys me about this is they didn't need to strengthen their attack.
No, I don't.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad signing. He's a great player. But imagine spending 34 million on maybe a goalkeeper and a centre back, or a goalkeeper and two centre backs.
Central midfield, even
central midfield options. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but spend that money where you need to spend it. Unless they said to Jurgen Klopp, the Americans, they've said to him, right, what positions do you need players in, and we will pay money to sign players in his positions. I know, as you said, it's been the Euros, so all the big players have been at the Euros, but still. 34 million for Sadio Mane. Brilliant bit of business from Southampton as usual, selling to Liverpool. I know he's still quite young, he's got the fastest Premier League hat-trick, but he's not a £34 million player.
Is this Klopp looking at the Premier League, having about three quarters of a season last year, and going, looking at Leicester and seeing what Jamie Vardy was doing up front and going, I need electricity up front. I need pure electricity. And Sadio Mane has got it. He is rapid, and he might have bought Mane to play Sturridge either deeper or wider, because you and me both agree, Sturridge, he wants to be a striker. I thought he was quite creative a bit deeper.
If we look at a Liverpool front three, which would probably be, because obviously if they're paying 34 million on a player, they're going to be playing him, which is going to be Coutinho.
Unless it's Andy Carroll.
Yeah, Coutinho, right, Sturridge and Mane.
Yeah.
For me, you play Sturridge in the middle of that. You play Coutinho on the left and Mane on the right. I mean, the thing is, of those three, and you've got Firmino as well.
And you've got Firmino, yeah.
And it's like... Those...
And you've got Benteke. And you've got Origi. Klopp, you've got some management to do.
If we take away Benteke from that situation and just take away... Put Origi, Firmino, Coutinho, Mane and Sturridge...
What? Dom, before you go any further, you have read out a list of very talented players. Why are they not challenging?
Right, I'll get on to that. All of them can play in all three positions in the front three.
Mm.
But yeah, as you're going to say, they've got ridiculous attacking strength.
What I would say, they need to develop...
We've forgotten Lallana. It's getting ridiculous now.
But this is what I want to talk about. Apart from Daniel Sturridge, them list of five other players have zero cutting edge in front of goal. They have got the bluntest blades in front of goal. They are not killers. Lallana is scared of scoring goals. Coutinho can only score worldies from outside the box. And Firmino, if I was a defender, I'd just sneeze and I think he'd fall over. But they need to develop a cutting edge in front of goal.
You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Everton have brought in Ronald Koeman from Southampton. They have gotten rid of Martinez, which the majority of Everton fans last season really, really wanted Bobby Martinez out the door. They've had their wish. They've brought in a former player. They've brought in a former Barcelona player, for God's sake. Ronald Koeman, Dom. Exciting, isn't it?
It's really exciting because not just because it's Ronald Koeman and what he did at Southampton, but the clubs he'd been linked with.
The clubs he's been linked... You're really right there, yeah. Really high-end clubs, aren't they?
Yeah, he was linked with the Arsenal job.
Barcelona job. Always linked with the Barcelona job.
And he's chosen Everton.
Which
means I really want to know what the owner said to persuade him to go from Southampton to Everton, because it's a very sideways step. They're both similar level clubs now, I guess you could say.
Positionally.
Yeah, positionally.
Maybe not in history, no. Everton, they really let themselves down last season. I will give them this credit. They got to the FA Cup semi-final and they got to the League Cup semi-final. Tottenham Hotspur finished third last year. They didn't do anything. They tried to win the Premier League.
They got knocked out. They knocked Leicester out in the opening round, but after that they didn't really do anything.
What I'm trying to say here is at least Everton tried and won some trophies for their fans. I know they didn't win their semi-finals, but they were playing Manchester City over two legs in the League Cup, who have a brilliant, brilliant squad.
And their record in the Capital One Cup is brilliant as well.
And they played Manchester United in the FA Cup semi-final.
That was their season.
Yeah.
They had to win that.
And it was Everton's as well. They tried in the second half to bring that lead back, but at least Everton tried to win a cup. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe if Everton stopped focusing on the cups as much and focus on the league, they could be a much, much more successful side. Because they have got some top quality players. I think Ross Barkley will stay. He's going to have a top season. He didn't play for England, and I think that's probably a good thing for Everton, because he's not bruised like the other English players are going to be coming back.
Thing is with Ross Barkley, he is different to any other number 10 in the league.
Yeah.
He's a direct number 10.
Yes.
He just wants to drive forward the ball, have a ping from about 30 yards out, maybe it'll go in.
You see it sometimes with Lukaku in front of him, he throws his arms up when Barkley shoots. I don't care, I like players who have a go. Especially the Premier League has lost a lot of the players from the early 2000s, like Nicky Butt, Scott Parker, Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard. Players who shoot from outside the box because they're not scared about, oh, should I just pass it wide? Should we keep the football? Keeping the football's great. But fans want to see shots, and that was Everton's problem last year. Too much pass. And that's why Martinez lost his job, because at home, at Goodison Park, Everton fans weren't seeing exciting football. That's the be-all and end-all.
You're listening to The Football Hour.
And we are moving our attention on to a club from the South Coast. They're called Southampton Football Club, Dom. This series is called Manager Watch. Who the hell is their manager?
Claude Puel.
Well, that cleared it up for you, listeners. I have no clue about him, do you?
People might remember him from a Champions League game when he played Manchester United,
right?
When he was manager.
Of which team was he managing?
At the current time, he was managing Lille.
Lille, okay. Yeah.
And basically what happened was, I think Ryan Giggs scored a free kick and it was too quick. He tried to make his players walk off in protest.
Did he?
Yeah.
Legend.
And then Sir Alex Ferguson called him disgrace in his post-match interview.
Oh,
good old Sir Alex.
I'm sure Fergie got away with it as well.
And then his next club, which he did big things at, was Olympique Lyon.
Okay.
Back when they were good.
Yeah. How'd he do with them then?
Well, he got them to a Champions League semi-final in 2010.
I'm like you, listeners. I have no idea about this guy. What nationality is he?
Oh, he's French.
French.
And, his playing career was, he spent his entire career at Monaco.
Right, well, we have raided this guy's Wikipedia page. They've sold Mane to Liverpool. Big player for Southampton, Mane. One of the recognisable players, one of the first teams on the team sheet. They've replaced him with not a striker, but they've replaced him with a forward player in Nathan Redmond from Norwich. They've signed for 11 million. How is Southampton going to do filling that Mane gap?
I mean, we've had this for like a couple of seasons now with Southampton.
Yeah, they always seem to just be fine with selling their players.
Yeah, they are. If we look at Nathan Redmond, he's always been this guy when he was at Birmingham with massive potential.
Mm.
Massive, massive potential. He played Football Manager in career mode back in the day. You remember.
I knew you'd bring up
Football Manager. He was amazing. He has potential to be like a good Aaron Lennon.
Is that what you want?
I mean, a proper Aaron Elwing who go down the wing, cross the ball in, quick, agile, all that. But 11 million? From a team who's been relegated.
But Southampton have got money, money, money.
They do, since they got 34 million for Sadio Mane.
Whoever the Southampton chairman is literally sitting there just waiting for Liverpool to ring them again. Like, who do you want? Because we'll give you him, because you always give us stupid fees. We're talking about Liverpool and the Southampton podcast, but it kind of feels right because they are the feeder club. You know what? I'm going to stick my neck out here and be proper old school English fan. It's not sustainable, Southampton. It can't be. They've got rid of Pelé, their striker. They've got rid of Mane. They've got rid of Wanyama. I think it's just three too many now. They've got rid of their manager, Ronald Koeman. Is it getting ridiculous now where the wheels are going to come off because they can't just keep producing players after losing their best players? I think they're going to have a bad season. I think they're going to finish 14th. You?
I don't want to talk about Fulham here, but we were a selling club.
Yeah.
Edwin van der Sar, Louis Saha. Okay, we sort of replaced players then, but if I say Moussa Dembélé and Clint Dempsey, right?
Mm.
We never replaced them.
No.
And that's why we went down. It's good Southampton are replacing these players, but you can't keep doing that. You can't just be a selling club. Because Southampton have been really good recently in the last few years, so they're going to want to improve. You can't, if you want to improve, you've got to stop becoming the selling club. I know every player's got a price, and obviously that was Mane's price. But still, you've got to try and keep your best players and then build a team around those players.
We're probably
looking too much into this, like too much in detail, but still, I just don't see the point in selling your best players every single season. They've lost three of their best players in Sadio Mane to Liverpool, Gracia Pelle to Shanghai Shenhua. Have fun with Felix Magat, mate. It's going to be a great laugh. And Victor Wanyama to Spurs.
If I was a Southampton fan, as much as the Premier League is brilliant, and I know you've had some successful years, do you not get annoyed when you start liking these players as a fan? The reason we do the Football Hour is because we're fans. It's not because we're chairman and we want to earn money. I like watching my best players. I don't care if my chairman's got £35 million in his account because they've sold Mane. You know what? If I'm a Southampton fan, I like watching Mane. That's what football's about. And I think eventually it'll catch up. And that's why I think this season, there's too many good teams in the league now for Southampton to keep selling their best players and keep overachieving.
This is the Football Hour.
And I cannot tell you how detailed Eddie Howe is with his players. Not in the sense of, right lads, everyone let's gather around and watch the opposite team we're going to play on the weekends. He would give booklets to players to read for a whole week about what they are going to expect from the opposite team when they turn up at Bournemouth Ground at the weekend. Eddie Howe is buying players, which I know will listen, who want to learn, who are young. Lewis Cook from Leeds United, Jordan Ibe from Liverpool, Emerson Hyndman from Fulham. Eddie Howe has got rid of Matt Ritchie, who got Bournemouth to the Premier League. He's let Matt Ritchie leave his team, who we all know the money in the Premier League. If Eddie Howe really wanted to keep Matt Ritchie, they could have kept him. They could have easily afforded to keep Matt Ritchie. Bournemouth's centre-back, Tommy Elphick, has signed for Aston Villa for £3 million. They've let their captain go. Eddie Howe is not scared about bringing in new players, is he?
This business makes sense. I know Matt Ritchie, he is a good player.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, he's a good winger. And there hasn't been many in the Premier League in recent history. But it made sense for him to let him go if Newcastle were willing to pay that much for him.
Newcastle paid $12 million for Matt Ritchie. Bournemouth have bought Jordan Ibe for $15 million. Here's a question. Who's got a higher ceiling? As in, who in 5 years' time is going to be the better player?
Clearly Jordan Ibe.
There we go. So it's not silly business. We talked about Bournemouth's attendance. If they sell someone for 12 and buy someone for 15, who Eddie Howe knows he can make a better player, it's not stupid business. Bournemouth can afford $15 million. It's exciting times. Exciting times. One area which doesn't excite me about Bournemouth is their goalkeeper. They had Boric, who used to be the Celtic keeper, who, I don't want to be harsh on you, mate, you look like you've eaten a few steak pies. Adam Federici, awful keeper, and he looks like he's eaten a few steak pies. So maybe that's where they can improve.
The worst thing is Mignolet could walk into this team.
Yeah, could walk into it.
Also, if we're going back to the manager, because series is called Manager Watch, Eddie Howe, for some reason, everyone thinks of his always a really attacking coach, but he does do well with his defenders.
He does. Solid team. It kind of makes me upset as a Leeds United fan that you see a club with a capacity of 11,500 taking Leeds United's best player for near on 10 million and signing Jordan Ibe for 15 million. But that is just the state of the Premier League. If you run a club right, if you get a good manager, which they have in Eddie Howe, you don't know how far you can go. And that is exactly what's happened with the Football Hour on the iTunes podcast chart. So if you've not subscribed, subscribe to the Football Hour. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a 5-star review. You can write whatever you want. As long as it's 5 stars, we don't mind. It can be as negative as you want in the comment.
You're listening to the Football Hour.
Get that smile. I can't imagine why we can't get that smile. Excuse me, I can't stop smiling because I've got this job. This is a job I've waited for many, many years, and I'm absolutely delighted.
You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour. This is the Manager Watch series, and the next instalment of this series is about Sam Allardyce, because he has been announced as the next England manager. And wasn't it nice of Coldplay to have the foresight to see that Big Sam would get this job so we can sing, Don Betts, Sam Allardyce's song? Come on! Allardyce. Right, that was very embarrassing, but we did it anyway.
Did it anyway.
Because we've got humour. You probably don't think we do. So, yeah, as I say, this is the Football Hour. Thank you for listening. Dom Betts is here. Dom, kind of this news has been kind of floating about since Roy Hodgson left. We all knew it was really going to be another English manager, didn't we, really? There was Hiddink. He was floated about being our manager. Laurent Blanc was even floated about. But we've got Big Sam Allardyce. What is your initial reaction?
First thing I say is when Hodgson lost his job, I said if it's an Englishman, the only Englishman who I'd want would be Sam Allardyce.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the appointment as such, but the media and all the fans need to give him a chance.
They do.
That's the problem with Roy Hodgson. Everyone was basing him on his Liverpool career. I mean, he didn't obviously have the best England career in tournaments-wise, but in qualifying, he was great. I just think the media need to lay off the manager and just let him build his own side and his own style of play.
I think he has got the personality to not care about that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, he's got a totally different personality to Roy Hodgson.
That he doesn't care what people think, I think. I think Roy Hodgson's problem was he was trying to fit so many players in because the media said, oh, look, Jamie Vardy's in form. Oh, look, Harry Kane's in form. Rooney's in form as well. Daniel Sturridge is in form. Oh, my God, we need to get them all on the same bloody pit. Sam Allardyce would not allow that to happen. Do you think the FA only had two names on their list, was Steve Bruce and Sam Allardyce?
Yeah, I genuinely don't think they were interested in interviewing anyone else. And if you're going to pick between Steve Bruce and Sam Allardyce, I'm not saying Steve Bruce is a bad manager. I mean, I take him at Fulham, but Sam Allardyce, we've done well with Bolton. He did well with West Ham. His reign at West Ham was sort of, it was shattered over by what the fans are saying about him and then wanting to play West Ham football. But at Bolton, think about it, took him from the Championship to nearly getting in the top four.
Yeah, and I think the reason, if we go back maybe a decade, that Big Sam is tarnished with this long ball football brush, it's because his Bolton side were beating Arsene Wenger's Arsenal, the Invincibles. They struggled at the Reebok every season. They could not get a win. They used to beat Chelsea. They used to beat the top boys. And what it was bitter managers like Arsene Wenger, like Sir Alex Ferguson, like Jose Mourinho, saying, oh, you know what? They beat us because of long ball football, and that's not the way I like to play. Well, the way Sam Allardyce likes to play is to get 3 points. And he will get 3 points however he wants to get them 3 points.
He can't take it, can he? He can't take it. He just can't take it because we've out-tacticked him, we've out-witted him. You know what I mean? He just can't cope, can he? Like, you know, so.
He's not stupid. It's not long ball. It's football with a purpose, isn't it? It's with a purpose. And that's what all his teams have, Dom. At the beginning of the match, you know what you're going to get from his side. So we're happy about the manager, but we're still seething about the players. So they've got a lot to prove under this new manager, Sam Allardyce. Not just to the manager, but to the whole country, because they let us down in the Euros and we're still hurt by it. I still think about it. It still makes me angry. You know, when you're on the tube and you just think, God, we lost to Iceland. We lost to Iceland with the players that we got. It makes me angry.
And to make it worse, Wales got to the semi-finals as well.
Yeah, it makes it a lot worse. What England have to do now is find an identity of football, a brand of football that we can say is ours. And we take that to a tournament and we stick to that brand of football. Whether it's pass, 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 which I don't think it'll be under Big Sam, but Sam will bring an identity. The Italians knew what the Italian identity of football was. The Spanish, even though they didn't get far, at least they played to their own identity. The Germans always know the way they're going to play, the way they're going to set up. England don't know that at the moment, do they?
I don't think anyone knows England's best 11. Because Roy Hodgson rotated so many players.
Yeah.
Not even the fans knew, oh yeah, that's definitely our best 11. All we knew was Hart was going to be in goal.
Yeah.
Eric Dier would be in midfield.
And Rooney would be the captain.
And
we didn't know where he was going to play.
And then maybe Smalling in defence.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you couldn't name one definite starter on that team sheet. Because Vardy and Kane got 25 goals pretty much each, right, last season. And you weren't sure if either of them was going to start.
No.
Because you didn't know if he was going to play Rooney up front.
It's shocking, isn't it? It's really shocking.
This is Dom Betts and Alex Mearns on the Football Hour.
Since Negredo's move from City to Valencia 2 years ago, where he went on loan for the first year and then they signed him permanent last year, he played 55 matches in the two seasons. 10 goals.
Yeah, but then...
But what?
But then, yeah, but didn't he look his record for City? He got over 20 goals in that season. So it's not like he's an unproven goal scorer.
He's overweight, he's unfit, and he has not been in form in a long, long time.
Yeah, but all he needs to do is get in, score in his first maybe one or two games, and then he could easily be getting 20 goals next season for
he does. He needs good pre-season, he needs to lose some weight.
But I mean, the thing is, he is going to get a good ball in the box for headers from like likes of Stuart Downing.
Yeah.
That's one thing that Middlesbrough do have. They do have players who can get the ball in the box quite well. As we were saying, they have more of a direct style of football, yeah. So it might suit him. But I've seen there'll be one playing two up front.
This is called manager watch. Last year, Aitor Karanka said he was leaving Borough with about 7 games to go. Something's going to happen. It just doesn't feel like this relationship between him and the chairman or Rosa, is it?
Yeah, no, you could tell it's not best of friends. Because if he was like thinking about walking out halfway during the season when they were looking like they were going to get automatic promotion...
I know.
There's definitely something going wrong there. I mean, just have to look at Steve Bruce.
Yeah.
We'll get onto Hull later, but just left because obviously with transfer business. But the thing is with Barrow, they should have gone up the season before.
They should have.
But
it's nice that they stuck with... Well,
yeah. It's nice that they didn't completely bottle it. Like Brighton did a couple of years ago when they nearly got playoffs, then they nearly got relegated the next season after. It happened with Leighton Orient when they were in League One. I know it's different, but I mean, like they nearly got to Championship and then... Now they're in League Two. But yeah, so it was good they kept the same manager, continued just playing their football, and now they're in the Premier League, which after last season, even possible two seasons, they do deserve. And with Aitor Karanka's style of football, as we said, it's attacking, but still direct, but not route one. I think it could work in the Premier League, but I think he might have quite a few worries defensively. Because he hasn't strengthened his defence, which I think you need to do when going into the Premier League.
I don't know. I'm going to... come round to kind of finishing this podcast off, Dom. And You're confident about Borough. I'm going to really stick my neck. I think he's going to be the first manager to be sacked in the Premier League. And I think Borough are going to get relegated.
I've got them just about escaping in 17th.
You've got Borough finishing 17th?
Yeah. I mean, whether that's Ait or Cranker or not.
Okay.
Whether Ait or Cranker gets sacked and Steve Bruce gets brought in if he hasn't got a job by then.
Yeah.
But just Borough in general, I do think they can stay up just... I just think they have an extra bit of quality that some of the other sides who came up, like such as Burnley and Hull, don't have.
This is the Football Hour.
This series is called Manager Watch. What do you think about David Moyes as the appointment?
I don't think they could have got anyone better in. He was the best option available, and they've always been linked with David Moyes. I hope he can do a good job and continue what, not continue what he did at Everton, but the same sort of standard of managing he did at Everton. Because Sunderland are always just about escaping relegation. They do it every single season. And maybe David Moyes can push them to maybe the top half or the bottom half or even into the top 10 in maybe 2 or 3 years' time.
Hopefully David Moyes can bring a stability to that club. I don't think players want to sign for Sunderland because they know they're either in a relegation battle and they're going to survive, which they have done in recent years, Dom, or there is a big, big possibility that they get relegated. Seemingly, I think every year, Sunderland has stayed up once again. How the hell have they done that? They've stayed up with the same players. And you think, right, change the players, bring in new ones that don't do rubbish at the start of the season, get a manager sacked, and then do really, really well at the end of the season. It's sort of like that Arsenal thing of, like, the opposite way around. Do really bad at the beginning, get a manager sacked, sort themselves out in the middle, and then win 10 out of the last 11 games and keep themselves up. And then during the summer, everyone goes, you can't get rid of me. I just kept you up. We won the last 10 games with me and the team. And then what happens? The first 10 games, they do really poorly. And they're like, we need to get rid of you. Let's take Lee Catamol, Seb Larson, for instance, Wes Brown, John O'Shea. All these players that haven't done well in the last 3 seasons, but they keep them because they keep them up, if you know what I mean. Hopefully David Moyes can get Sunderland to a point, maybe in March, April, where it looks like they aren't going to get relegated, when they can maybe get to the end of the season and start planning for next year, even though I'm thinking 12 months down the line.
The Football Hour.
West Ham, their manager, he came in last year, Dom. What did he add to the Premier League?
Obviously, his personality.
Yeah.
You can tell he's got that energetic, passionate personality about him, but he added another good footballing side.
Yes.
Because everyone was wondering, why have you sat Sam Allardyce? You've still got one more year to the Olympic Stadium. Mm. Bilic just built on what Sam Allardyce had already done.
Yeah.
You got to give Allardyce a bit of credit for that. He built them to be a sustainable side in the Premier League, and then Bilic just went on from there, started playing much more attacking football, but he still held his way defensively.
Yeah.
And you can tell that by the way his Croatia side played when he was manager there. Like, when they stopped England going to the Euro 2008, but that was more McLaren being rubbish. But you could tell by the way he managed his Croatia side that he was going to be an exciting manager in the Premier League.
You can listen to all our latest podcasts on our Audio Boom channel, audioboom.com/thefootballhour.
That was it then. Manager Watch Best Bits. Thank you again for listening. That's it. That's been the summer. We've covered, well, England's been awful. We've got a new manager, England.
Got new managers everywhere.
We've got new managers everywhere. That's why we basically started the series. Money's mental in football. We've not earned any of it from this, but we're not complaining. We enjoy the listeners. But just keep looking out for the Football Hour podcast. During the season, we'll be doing stuff. We're going to try and do stuff every day. We're going to preview. We're going to review. We're going to discuss sackings. We're going to discuss signings. Everything. The only thing we know is probably Arsene Wenger will still be there next year and Arsenal would have finished fourth.
Without a striker or a defender.
Well, thank you for the 30th time this podcast for listening to this. Enjoy the football.
Remember to visit our website, thefootballhour.com, for all our latest podcasts and articles.